Boker Tov. Welcome to Summer's Man of SBM Summer Coil. I'm going to get Bezat Hashem everybody's names later. So just as a... It's very important. We like to start off the past few summers we've been doing it to start off the day with Musar. It's very important to learn Musar because otherwise, if a person's not a mensch, then anything he learns is not going to penetrate. A person without, you know, learning doesn't necessarily make a person Tamid Chacham or a Ben Torah. Sometimes a person can be very knowledgeable in Torah, but he can be a behema, a zebaya, right? Because that doesn't, just because a person learns, sometimes a person can be hamor no sesfarim, right? Which means, let's say, you take a shas. Yeah, you take a whole set of, forget about the, you take the mesifta. You take the whole set of mesifta, all 70-something volumes, and you load it onto a donkey. Yeah? Does that make him Tamid Chacham? What does it make him? A donkey who's carrying the shas. Sometimes you can have a human being also, a human being who becomes a donkey and carrying the shas. That's all it becomes. You want to become Tamid Chacham, you want to become a Ben Torah, the Torah has to penetrate. In order for the Torah to penetrate, you know, everything in the body, just like the skin, has pores. You have to open up. We're born in this world, the pores of our neshama are clogged. In order to open up the pores so that the Torah can penetrate, you have to unclog the pores. You know what unclogs the pores? That's right. Musar. Zeh osim kacha. You unclog the pores with Musar, and then, oh, you open it up, and then the Torah can penetrate and make a person more miyushav v'da'ato. He's more open. He becomes more receptive to hearing tochacha. Sometimes you live in a generation nowadays, especially, it's interesting. Shaar HaBitachon is not your classic. Shaar HaBitachon is only one gate, one chapter in Chovot HaLevavot, but it's not your common Sefer Musar. Soon you'll see why I'm saying that. Aval mikol makom, it's supposed to refine a person, make a person calmer, make a person, you know, like the Gemara says towards the end of Masechet Yomah, we're almost done, Daf Pegiman, the Gemara says that when a person walks around, what's the quintessential Kiddush Hashem? What's a Kiddush Hashem? The Gemara says, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, sheyesh shem shamayim mitahev al yadecha. That wherever a person goes, just, oh, people will say, Ashrei Rabbo shelim medot Torah, Ashrei Aviv shelim medot Torah, right? Blessed, oh, praiseworthy, fortunate is the Rebbe and the father who taught him Torah. Why? Because if a person learns Torah and he acts like a chamor, as ma'asinu, people are going to say, oh, that's disgusting. See, that's what happened. That's what a person learns Torah, he acts like a chamor, zelotov. That's a chilul Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is when a person learns Torah, a person is a ben Torah, and he acts with derech eretz, he acts with derech no'am. That's the way that, oh, then people say, psh, you see? Look what's happening in Great Neck. Don't even go 10, 15 years back. Go a year or two back, whatever. It was very, you know, a few years ago, it wasn't as common to see a ben Torah walking in the streets of Great Neck. You know that? Lokacha? It wasn't so common. You see one, you know, here and there. Now, Hashem Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, you see them walking around all the time. The color of the shirts doesn't make a difference to me. The color of the shirts, the Kohen Gadol wore many, many different colors. He wore white, he wore blue, he wore red. Akol lavash. Because why? There's Avodat Hashem in every color. Nachon Roy? Every color has a different semblance of Avodat Hashem. Yeah? The Me'il was blue. Kitonit, white. Ephod, red. Choshen HaMishpat HaYama? All the colors. Akol. Lama? Because all the colors have a semblance of Avodat Hashem. Don't worry about the color. Elama, what do you have to worry? Like the Pasuk says in the Navi Shemuel, Ki Hashem, Ki Ha'adam Yir'e La'ainayim, V'Hashem Yir'e La'levav. People can only see skin deep, right? People can only see the color of your shirt. That's all that people can see. Aval mikol makom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees deeper than the shirt. He penetrates, he goes straight into the kishkes, goes into the heart, into the kishkes, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at. When people see that, they see B'nai Torah walking in the street, oh, you see, psh, what does that do to people? So, oh, Yishtabach Shemo. Look how Tamid Chachamim act. Look how B'nai Torah act. They walk nicely. They act nicely. They act B'kivud Abayim. That causes people. Sometimes you don't even realize. But sometimes just by acting like a mensch. You know what's mensch? It's called in Yiddish, we say Adam Boshe.
Farsi.
Yeah. Yiddish. Yiddish and Farsi. You know what I'm talking about? Adam Boshe? You don't know Persian? Bemet? Maye?
Sarti.
No Yiddish, no Persian? Ma korepo. Anyway, Bekitzer, so he says, I said it good? Adam Boshe?
Adam Boshe.
Anyway, Aval Mikon Makom, person has to walk around like that. Sometimes people, you don't even know. I hear this. You don't even... People say, one second. If that's how a guy acts, that he goes to yeshiva and he acts like a ben Torah and he learns whatever, he says, you know what? Instead of sending to places that are not mat'im for Am Yisrael, he says, you know what? If that's how yeshiva boy acts, I want to send my son to yeshiva. If that's what the Torah does to a person, you know what? I'll take a Rebbe, I'll take a tutor to teach my son Torah. Shem Yisrael. Shechim v'ashech el kechim. When a person does that, it's an unbelievable zach. Yeah? Bekitzer, so it's a tremendous thing. Now, that being said, Shara Bitachon, Rabbeinu Bechaye, is the author of the Chovot HaLevavot, one of the earlier Spanish Rishonim, Rabbeinu Bechaye ibn Pekuda. Yeah, that was his name. Anyway, Bekitzur, he was called Dayan HaSfaradi. This was written in Arabic and translated into Hebrew. Mikol Makom, the Shara Bitachon is one of the fundamental works for understanding Bitachon. And the reason why I chose this, you know, I spoke about it with the boys before, you have to understand, we live in a generation, as you get older, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That everybody has their own pekel. Everybody has their own package of tzarot in this world. In Manasot, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Everybody has their own nisyonot, trials and tribulations and tests. In Manasot, that's the way it goes. And as a person gets older, the tests usually get harder. That's the way it works. And if a person doesn't have bitachon, which soon will explain the definition of bitachon, if a person doesn't have that bitachon, he's a goner. He's toast. You cannot go through this world without bitachon. You'll be lost. And if on the flip side, if a person does have bitachon, if a person trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, there's no happier person, no calmer, no more serene person than Ba'al HaBitachon, than a person who realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And there's nothing, you don't have to fight it, you don't have to, sometimes people run around in life and they, you know, they act like they, you know, like they own the world. It's chavah. Why? Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and Hashem's going to do whatever He wants anyways. In order for us, in order for this realization to seep in, we have to learn this Musar, and that gives us, you know, what's the Rambam also speaks about it. And it's medically, it's true according to the Torah, and it's true according to medicine as well. You know what's the number one contributor to almost every single illness under the sun? You know what makes everything worse?
Stress.
What makes people stressed? Stress comes from what? Stress, again, there's different kinds of stress, but in general, stress comes from a lack of understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Why? Because if I'm carrying the weight of the world and I have to take care of everything, then you better believe that life is a very, very stressful place, and that weighs down on the person. But I mean, none that can cause all sorts of cholayim ra'ayim chas v'shalom. When a person realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chavodo ve'atzmo runs the world, hashgacha pratit, you know, the Rambam, I didn't even start the Shara Bitachon, but the Rambam writes, you know how Avodah Zarah started? The Rambam writes in Pirik Aleph of Ilchot Avodat Kochavim. He says, in the beginning of the world, everybody, you think people are stupid? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and, you know, in a matter of three generations, everybody forgot about Him? And Avodah Zarah come around? So he says, in the beginning generations, right, Dor Enosh, that was the third generation after Shet, Adam. Adam, Shet, Enosh, third generation since the creation of the world. And then what? People started worshipping Avodah Zarah. Why? Because they thought Kadosh Baruch Hu is the master of the universe. He created everything. He's so tremendous. He's so big. But it seems so counterintuitive that someone so big would be busy with all the fine details of all the little, you know, tiny things in the world. So what did they do? They started thinking that Hashem delegates, that Hashem gives over the powers to all sorts of different, you know, to the sun and the moon and the stars. They believed in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but slowly but surely, yeah, what did they do? They started worshipping other powers, you know, so to speak as well, because they said HaKadosh Baruch Hu delegated some of these authorities to these other forces because He was too big to deal with these things. That's how Avodah Zarah came about, says the Rambam. And as the generations went on, it got worse and worse and worse and worse until, you know, it got out of hand. That's kfira. That's the worst possible thing ever. There's nothing too big and nothing too small for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Ashgacha Pratit means. And when a person really feels deep down that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, it's the most soothing feeling in Olam Hazeh, because there's nothing that can hurt us. And even in the worst, darkest moments in life, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there with us, so there's no reason to worry. So just to kind of break the ice a little bit with the Shaar HaBitachon, Pirek Aleph, we're going to not skip, but for the meantime, we're going to just go straight to the beginning of Shaar HaBitachon, Pirek Aleph. Ach mahut HaBitachon hi menuchat nefesh HaBoteach. The essence of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to bring about a sort of relaxation, menuchat nefesh, of one who trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shelibo samuch al mi shebatach alav, shi'aseh hatov ve'anachon lo, ba'inyan asher yiftach alav. The one that you trust in, everybody says that they trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bitachon means that the one you say you trust, you're going to trust him completely to do everything that is good, just, and beneficial for you. Kefi yecholto v'da'ato b'ma shemefik tovato. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the quintessential good. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good, and you claim to have bitachon, the person has to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what good is. Our minds are very small. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, even though Baruch Hashem, Ata chonen la'adam da'at, whatever, but compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no comparison between. We have pea brains. Sometimes we think, you know, we already, in our minds, we already have definitions, we already have classifications of what's good and what's bad. In order to be a real Baal Bitachon, a person has to take a step back and control, alt, delete, completely wipe this slate clean from any and all, you know, predetermined, preconceived notions of what's good, and leave that up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says,
can't even use our whole mind, Rabbi. A person can only use like 4% of his own mind. That should be his own Kusar.
Yeah, so
can't even use your whole mind. Do you think you can think of that?
Yeah, so we're even a fraction of a pre-brain. We're tiny little nothings, already thinking, we already have these preconceived notions, what's good, and when something doesn't go our way, we already, sometimes in the tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you doing this bad to me? We know, there's a pasuk in Echa, it's coming up, we're going to read in Tisha B'Av, Shelo Nikra, but Mikol Makom, it says in Megillat Echa, Mipe Elyon lo tetzeh ra'ot ve'atov. Bad and good doesn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is a kol letova. But in our tiny minds, we already have made up that maybe it's not good. If you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of Tova, let him act the way he understands in his infinite wisdom to be Tova. Matomen.
Why are we like praying for things now, for Hashem to like do this for us? As we could just imagine everything he does for us is very the best.
So you ask. Let me. That's a good question. I wanna rephrase the question. Why do you have tefillah to begin with? Why do you pray? You know, a bulk of the tefillah, the middle brachot of the Amidah are what? Bakashot, all sorts of things that we pray for. Why not just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever you want is for the good. So do what you want, and that's the end of the prayer. First of all, there's a mitzvah to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a mitzvah to pray for things that we need. But at the end of the day, even after we pray, when you want to give a person bracha, what do you say? Yiratzon shehakadosh baruch hu yemale mishalot libechem letova. Which means, we don't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you whatever you want. Why? Because whatever you want is not necessarily good for you. You say, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you whatever you prayed for that He considers good. That's the ultimate bracha. There's a mitzvah to pray anyway. But even with prayer, sometimes people, you know, that's a totally different thing. We know that tefillah can change many, many gzirot kashut. But sometimes, we even see from Moshe Rabbeinu, sometimes prayer, not that it doesn't work, but we don't get, sometimes people say, oh, you see, tefillah doesn't work. Why? Because if they don't receive the outcome that they prayed for, so in their minds already, the tefillah didn't work. And it couldn't be the furthest thing from the truth. Imagine, it comes up all the time. Yeah? Let's say a person prays for a person, Chas v'Shalom Bar Minan, he's not healthy, he's ill. And the person ends up going to Bit Olamo, he ends up passing away. So what does that mean? That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not accept the tefillah, right? That's the, at face value, Hashem did not accept the tefillah, and the tefillah didn't work. Wrong. That's incorrect. in our human eyes, it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't accept the tefillah. But that's wrong. It's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the tefillah. And you don't know, maybe the tefillah gave him another day of life, or even another hour of life, or even another breath of life. And you don't know what the tefillah did, what the tefillah was po'en for his children, for his grandchildren, or where it allowed him to enter La'olam Abba. There's so many things that we don't see. You know, I'll tell you. You like art? Art. You know, like paintings and stuff like that. You're a fan?
No.
What about your other half? He likes it at all? You like art?
You know, we don't overindulge in the school of
fire. Takshiv. Bekitzur, art. I happen to like art. My grandmother was an artist. You know, when you go to... I don't have time for this now, but there's museums where you go and you see art and you know, the people... No, there's people who go, ooh, ah, right, they go and they look at all the shtuyot. Now, very quickly, when you go to an art museum, you're able to tell who's a professional, meaning who's like a connoisseur, an art connoisseur, and who's not. You know how? In 2 seconds. Let me explain to you. Okay? Here's the painting, let's say, right? Now, you can't even get so close because it's behind the glass thing and it's all... because they don't want you to touch it. There's one kind of person that, you know, here's the thing and he gets, wow, that's gorgeous. He's looking like he gets right up to it. The guy behind him says, Abba, why, when you want to look at art, what do you have to do? You take a few steps back. You don't look at the micro. You got to step back and look at the macro. Why? Because over here you're looking at a, wow, that's a nice color. What do you mean nice color? Don't look at the color. Take a step back and take a look at the whole thing. The guy says, yeah, Abba, that's not how you look at art. What do you think that's by human art? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master artist, right? This is Gemara in Masechet Berachot, Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, Ve'en tzur, ki mi Elohah mi bal'ade Adonai, u mi tzur zulati Elohenu. What's mi tzur? Ve'en tzur ke Elohenu, also Tfilat Chana, it says over there, Ve'en tzur ke Elohenu, says the Gemara, Ve'en tzayar ke Elohenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master artist. Look at yourself. Look at everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. There's no greater artist than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like human art, you never look at the thing directly, at the micro, you got to take a step back. In this world, that's the problem. In this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts our faces, boom, right up to the painting, so you can't see anything besides what's happening at this specific moment. But in Olam Haba, there's not going to be any questions anymore, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow us to take a step back and to see all the art from His vantage point, and you say, oh, I got it. You know, it's called an epiphany. You know what an epiphany is? It's an einfall. It's like a ding. There's no kushiyot in Olam Haba. There's no questions. There's a story with the Ramban. The Ramban had a talmid. It's a famous story. Shema Gedolim brings it down. The Ramban one time had a talmid, and he had a few questions that he wanted to ask in Shamayim, and the talmid was very sick. And the Ramban told him, he wrote him a certain kamea, and before he passed away, he came to visit him, and he put this kamea in his hand, and he says, he wrote in the kamea the questions, he closed his hand, and he says, Mitzaveh Alecha, he told his talmid, after you pass away, after your judgment, I want you to come back down, ask these questions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come back down, and give me the answers. Talmid said, okay. He passed away, fine. A few days later, the Ramban was sitting and learning, and he sees his Talmid comes to him as he's learning, right? Sounds cool, no? Anyway, Bikitsur, Talmid comes, and he says, Shalom Rabbi. The Ramban says, oh, nu, how's it going over there? He says, okay, great, Baruch Hashem, Shtabach Shemo, I finished my din, Hakol Avar B'Shalom. He says, nu, what's with the questions? He says, I'll tell you the truth, Rabbi, I forgot the questions. He says, what are you talking about? I gave you a kamea in the hand with Shemot Kedoshim, and I wrote you down the questions. He says, no, Rabbi, you don't understand. When you get to Olam HaEmet, all the questions disintegrate. There's no more questions anymore. All the questions that we have in Olam HaZeh, you don't even have a chance to ask. As soon as you get up there, everything's answered. So he says, I forgot everything, and everything makes perfect sense, so I'm not able to give you the answers, Rabbi. That's what he told him. A Baal Bitachon understands that we are very, very limited. You know, we didn't get too far over here, but it's such a... you have to make like a mindset change, because if you want to live a life of tranquility and to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding us, you have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything, and nothing that we can do will overturn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gzirah, and He wants the best for us. And Bezat Hashem, in the coming days, we'll see a little bit more. Tov, let's stop here for a second. I just want to...
Couldn't you just ask him the questions if you had to answer them?